We're looking at the aspect of culture that comes against our attention span. Our attention span is getting shorter and shorter. And actually, the things that God wants us to do, like India, CityLink, or whatever issue God has put before you, are things that are going to require a longer attention span than our culture is prepping us for. So let's pray about that before we go any further. God, I'm thankful to be here today, and I'm thankful to be able to share information like this. I do think that it's one of those odd times where there's not a lot of people going to bring out some of the points that are happening today, and I think it's just because your wisdom surpasses the wisdom of the world. Your ways are beyond the ways of our world. So I'm asking that not only would we stay focused today, not only would we get something that is helpful to us, but most importantly, you would be honored, you would be pleased by what takes place. And I pray these things according to your name, the character and person of Jesus. Amen. So the big idea for today is that those who focus on the long run win in the long run. Those focus on the long run win in the long run. And most of our society is focused on the short run, things that happen in the immediate, things that keep my attention right now. Last week, Chuck talked about a pass in the Bible. I want to take a look at it again. The theologians in our world refer to this as the cultural mandate. It's when men and women got a mandate to create culture. Here's what it says again in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This is basically the creation of culture. Fruitful and multiply. There must be population base, population growth for culture to go forward. Subdue the earth. It doesn't mean like hurt the earth. It means manage the earth and bring it into civilization. And camping is nice, but Adam and Eve wanted to get to have buildings. They wanted to have buildings. For culture to go forward, there must be civilization. The Bible starts in the Garden of Eden, and as it goes on, it gets more and more cultured, more and more civilized to where it ends in the book of Revelation. The end times ends in a city. So the process of whatever a city needs is subduing and bringing the earth into alignment with that goal, naming animals, having purposes for things, going out and doing things. And when they were doing these things, these weren't things they could knock off in a few tweets. I mean, this was going to take a long time to deal with. Multiplying themselves, their kids multiplying themselves, building structures, finding little varmints and critters to name. Yeah, you're a lizard. Whatever they did, it was going to take a long time. And we have a culture right now that doesn't honor the long term. Actually, we have a hard and increasingly difficult time focusing on the long run. We have a diminishing capacity to pay focused attention to any one item. The Associated Press back in April released some findings that they had discovered, and it says this: the average attention span in the year 2000 was 12 seconds. Average attention span in 2012 is 8 seconds. And we are just barely beating a goldfish at 9 seconds. Average number of times every hour that you check your email inbox at work is 30 times. I'm sorry, if you're checking your email 30 times, that's an attention span issue, and you're not able to focus on what actually would bring value. Average length watch of a single internet video, 2.7 minutes. Percent of page views that lasts less than 4 seconds, 17%. Just click and click, 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 click. Percent of page views that last more than 10 minutes, only 4%. These things all signal that we're having an increasingly hard time focusing on one thing for an extended period of time. And if we can't focus, we can't be in it for the long run. And those who are in it and can keep their attention for the long run win in the long haul. This next week, I'm reminded that I am in it for the long haul because I am having another birthday. Boo-hoo. That doesn't bother me that much. But if you're wondering, I wonder how old he is. I'm 48. I will be 48 this week. And, you know, one of the things I'll find out again is just the power of social media. I remember a number of years ago when Facebook just started was taking off, all of a sudden my email was filled with, happy birthday, Brian, flickering candle, you know, happy birthday. I was like, isn't this good? All these people remembering me. And I realized, no, it's just some automated response off of Facebook. And I'm sure I'll get a bunch of them. And if you got your automating some flickering candle, that's fine. But I tell you, we all know flickering candles that are automated don't mean that much. What means something is if you get a note from somebody or a Hallmark card and there's even just four handwritten sentences. What's the last note that you received from somebody that was a paragraph or longer? What's the last note you gave to somebody that was a paragraph or longer? Your hand about fall off if you did that. You haven't had a hand workout like that for a while. We don't do those things because they actually require an attention span. It doesn't require an attention span to hit 140 characters. It requires an attention span to do those things. One of the many things that are just dropping away. Those focused on the long run and who have long attention spans win in the long run. You know, our society has gotten faster and faster. I am pro-technology. I'm just wanting us to recognize that our technology, if we're not aware of it, is dumbing us down. I mean, I remember when the microwave, I'm old enough to remember when the microwave first came out. Yeah, dag. Whew. Of course, we all know that you can't even wait for those final 4 seconds for the microwave. You have to stop it. Can't wait those last 4 seconds. I need it now. I want it right now. And the fax machine came out. It altered business. It used to be that you had time to focus on the project. You had time to get the thing, the proposal in the mail. So the fax machine came out. Hey, if you could have that fax machine by the end of the day, that'd be great. It sped things up. Things continue to be sped up. Email overtook voicemail. We don't like to listen to voicemail any longer. In fact, when someone calls me, I let it kick into voicemail oftentimes, and then I don't even listen to it for a while because I know that there's going to be a email or a text following it up that's going to sum it all up in one sentence, and that's good. I don't have to spend that time doing those things. Our time gets less and less and less. Who would have thought 10 years ago you would have never imagined that one of the most popular websites going has 6-second videos? You would have said, 6-second video? You can have a video that lasts 6 seconds. You wouldn't understand anything about it. Oh, yes, you can. It's called Vine. Let me show you a couple of my favorites.
Physically capable of tanning, I go from white to red, that's what I said. I'm not physically capable of tanning, I go from white to red, that's what I said. Jesus, take the wheel, take it from my hand. Jesus, take the wheel, take it from my hand. Jesus.
That's good stuff. I can hear you. I care who you are. That's funny right there. That's funny. So everything is getting shorter, and there's nothing wrong with short texts. There's nothing wrong with short tweets. There's nothing wrong with things that are quick. It's just we have to be aware that as our culture is going this way, our culture is losing the ability for disciplined thinking. Our culture is losing the ability to focus on something for any length of time. This last summer, I did a couple things I'm going to share with you today that were experiential learnings for me. My best moment-for-moment, pound-for-pound learning happens when I am in an environment and I'm learning something. I can learn when I read. I learn when I'm in an environment like this. But when I'm outside of my normal rhythms, outside my regular turf, and I'm learning something, it's very impactful for me. Lib and I have some friends that every once in a while take us on crazy, redonkulous vacations, and they did it again this last summer. It means they pay for everything. I know it sucks to be me. It does. So they took us to Europe. Crazy. And when someone says they're going to take you to do something like that, you don't want to offer any suggestions because you're just suggesting things they should buy. So you don't do that. I mean, I'll pick up a cab fare every once in a while, something like that, but I just can't run in those circles. But nonetheless, when we were going this one region, I said, you know, there was a 60-minute video that I watched that if we're anywhere around this place, we should go see it. And we're going to take a look at this right now. We're going to test all of our attention spans. We're going to actually, I believe you can hang in there on an 8-minute video. Because what you're going to see is something I actually saw with my own eyeballs, and it heightened in me the value of having a long vision, being able to be focused on something. And this is a guy by the name of Gaudi who is building one of the most impressive structures the world's ever seen. Let's check this out. You know, when I saw the project, the building didn't necessarily inspire me. I mean, it is inspiring, but I don't think that God gets hyper excited about buildings. At Crossroads, we build our buildings functional and cheap. So it's not like, hey, let's start doing that. But what amazed me was the attention to detail. Like on the east where the sun rises, that's where the birth narratives in the Bible were. It was interesting, the children that were at the birth narratives were Asian because the sculptor is right now Asian, so that's the way he sees it. Fascinating. On the west where the sun sets is with death narratives in the Bible. There was all kinds of attention to detail, but at the heart of it, there was somebody who said, I'm going to do something I'm not going to see the end of. I'm going to be focused on something that is very complex and very difficult, and it's not going to give me an immediate short-term buzz. What examples do we have in our culture of that today? Not very many. I mean, shoot, you get in a conversation with 8 people, and if you're in the conversation and you're not part of the conversation for 2 minutes, what happens? Oh, I gotta look at my phone. I can't even pay attention to somebody else's conversation. Because I have to be there. It's Todd. Maybe the closest person to Gaudi in our time might be Steve Jobs, who had the attention span to think through reformatting the musical industry and everything, but he didn't think through what would happen to Apple when he was dead. He didn't prepare another generation. That's part of why we see Apple floundering right now. So what would happen if we came against the cultural concept of being in the immediate, the 6-second videos? It must give me a buzz right now or else I want to do it. What would be some of the long attention span values that are in the scriptures that we would embrace? Let me give you 4 of them. Number 1, God-sized projects. God-sized projects. Is there anything that you're doing right now that requires God to get involved or else it will not happen? Is everything that you're doing, can it be explained by a CPA with a spreadsheet? If so, it's probably not God-sized. It's not going to require full attention over a long period of time. Our work in India is a long attention span project. CityLink, 10 years in the making to launch, and now it's trying to get it fully successful and sustainable. It's a long attention span thing. That's why a lot of people say, stop doing that. It's not going to work. People's shortest attention spans always throw in the towel when it's hard. Always. What in your life is that? One of the things that I've got a number of them working on right now. One of them is I'm really excited about the things that are happening with entrepreneurs here at Crossroads and here in our city. I meet every week with a group of entrepreneurs that tries to build into people here. We have another unpolished event coming up for aspiring entrepreneurs, current entrepreneurs, or people who want to support entrepreneurs. Coming up on October 8th, encourage you to do that if that's where you are. You know, here's the God-sized vision. Who says the next Google can't come out of Cincinnati? Who says? Who says the next Tesla car company creating manufacturing jobs doesn't happen here in Cincinnati? We could talk about CityLink and poverty in our city all we want, but we don't have a growing, vibrant economy where there's jobs, you can't get out of poverty. That cannot happen. What God-sized things do you have? In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, it says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus endured the cross. He was in it for the long run. And why was he in this race of endurance? It's because he had a God-sized vision to redeem the world. He had a vision to go to the cross, live a sinless life as only he had, die a brutal death that all of us deserve to satisfy the justice of God. And he did this because there was something bigger and beyond that tested his very patience. And everybody who has received him, as it says in that verse, is now a cloud of witnesses. There are right now a cloud of witnesses that are in heaven who watch our lives and see exactly the things that we're devoted to. That inspires me. We take our cues from Jesus, who was not just about his comfortable life, but actually wanted his life to matter for the ages. Number 2, another long attention span value is enduring difficulty. Jesus endured difficulty to accomplish what he did. I find it increasingly interesting that in our society, the number one problem skeptics and seekers have with the idea of God is the problem of pain and suffering. And that's a relevant discussion. That's a good thing to look at. If there's a God, how can there be pain and suffering? I mean, I don't want to short-circuit that question at all. But it is true that if you look in world history, we're the only culture that's been fascinated with that. There's been unbelievable pain, crazy pain, way more pain than you and I have ever seen. We're talking about plagues. We're talking about awful stuff. And if you look at the ancient works, those things don't drive people to question the existence of God the way it does here in our society. Why is that? Because they had a longer attention span. For you and I, this, like, what's in front of my face, that's everything. Oh, no. Oh, no, I heard. There must not be a God. Because we can't get past what we are right now to see the long view of things. The book of James, chapter 1, it says this. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, you sick masochists. For you know that count it all joy. What? Doesn't make sense unless you get to this long view. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So how do you get steadfast? How do you steadfastly focus on the same thing for a long term? You get qualified for that through difficulty, because if you can stay focused through difficulty, you'll stay focused enough to win in the long run. It's interesting here that the various trials are not the thing that, oh, I'm in a trial, happy, happy, joy, joy, this is great. No, but the trial qualifies us for the next thing, and we all know this from school, right? Who liked to study for tests? Raise your hands. You did not. You lie. Are you serious? The woman has problems over here. Yes, she does. Yeah. We don't, but we know, looking back, that if it wasn't the test, we wouldn't have gone through the trial, and actually that test qualified us for the next round of learning or maybe the thing that you're doing right now, and you will not endure difficulty unless you can develop a longer attention span. This last week, I met with a leader in the Indian church who was here at Crossroads, and he was telling me crazy great things that are happening in India through the partnerships we have with churches and other folks. And one of his friends was a former Muslim imam. An imam is basically a Christian pastor. He was an imam in the Islamic faith, and he was reading his Quran. And in the Quran, it says a number of things that increasing amount of Muslims are reading and saying, I think that's Jesus. One verse specifically says, you can only be saved through the Son of Mary. In the Quran, it triggered him like, oh my goodness. And he actually received Christ. He became a follower of Jesus. He didn't feel like he had to abandon his culture as a result of that. He could still stay within his nationality culture. Many of the customs of the Islamic faith, the cultures, he could stay in the midst of. But his friends and other people were completely upset, and they abused him. They beat him. They came against him with everything they could. It got to the point where he found his son dead outside, face down in a pond, drowned inside of a pond, and he kept his faith. And over the years, as he had the long view, he kept telling people who were beating him and giving him grief, he said, if you tasted what I taste, you would believe what I believe. If you taste what I taste, you would believe what I believe. And what do you know? After so many years, people have come to respect him, and even though they have not come to see his spiritual ideals yet, they come to him for prayer. There's a sense of power about him. You'll never endure difficulty unless there's something different that you're about. The guy who was telling me about this is a pastor over there, and he said, every week I get together with other people and we pray. We pray. And he said, I don't know if I'm going to see India different in my lifetime, but I know that I'm going to be a cloud of witnesses. I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to see it, and I'm going to feel like I had a part of it because I prayed. Why is it that very few of us are satisfied with our prayer life? It's because we don't have the attention span for a better prayer life. If our attention span is only 10 seconds, we'll only have 10-second prayers. If our attention span is only 3 verses a week, we'll have the depth and knowledge that 3 verses from the Bible can bring us. These things are difficult. We have to cultivate the capacity for it. And everything in our culture is dumbing us down. Everything in our culture is cultivating the capacity of not focusing, of not staying in tune, of not exercising our brain. Number 3, multi-generational vision is another long-term attention span value. Multi-generational vision. Abraham was somebody who had a God-sized vision. He endured difficulty, and he was commissioned to start the nation of Israel. And this was going to be a multi-generational affair. In the book of Genesis, chapter 17, it says this. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. The things that were promised Abraham, he didn't see them with his own eyeballs. But yet he was set up for this. Look at all the long-term vision vernacular in here. Your offspring, their generations, your offspring, everlasting possession. His attention span had to go past his lifetime for the things that God promised to actually come to bear. I think it's very fitting in our culture and our society. The birth rate is going down, down, down. It's going down. The birth rate is going down at the same rate at which our attention span is going down. Women today have an average of 1.89 children per woman. 1.8. I'm not really sure what a 0.89 baby looks like. Kind of like, but God would love that baby. He would love that 0.89 baby, no matter what. He would love it, and I'll be about that baby. 1.89. If you're 40 years old right now, that is half of what it was when you were born. Half. And so economists are looking at this from an economical standpoint, saying, economically, this has awful consequences for us because those of us who are older or getting older, as I am, we're expecting certain entitlements, certain things when we get older, but it only happens if younger generations are funding it and working, and we just don't have the workforce to do that. 1.8, you need well over 2.0 to sustain your current population. Now, here's an interesting thing for you. I want you to think right now, who do you know that has three kids or more? Think about that right now. Who do you know that has three kids or more? Not like your parents did or your grandparents did. Like, who do you know that's in your 20s, 30s, 40s has three kids or more? Now, here's what I would hazard a guess. I would guess that of those people, you're talking about they're either Catholic, conservative Christian, Muslim, or Mormon. It's probably, and here's the thing, interesting thing, I'm not hearing anybody talk about these things. Of those four categories, there is very consistent social values, moral values in those four. What no one's talking about is America is going to be totally different in 30 years because the big families and actually immigration, very religious values are immigrating here. You're going to see amendments overturned in the Constitution. You're going to see brand new constitutional amendments start. It's going to be a different. Any values you see in those groups, that's who's going to be voting. That's just the math. The numbers don't lie. And what's interesting is if you talk to, I have three kids, I must say that I didn't actually have that intense of a vision when I have my three kids. I do now. I'm going to get that in just a moment, but I do now. But if you talk to some of those parents, they'll say, that's exactly, I'm in it for the long view. I'm in it for the long run to bless society with kids who get it and impact our society for the long run. Recently, I've had my kids do what I've wanted them to do, and that is to pass me up. My daughter recently got a job offer at a place that I never could have gotten a job offer for. I still couldn't get a job there. She's gone beyond where Lib and I were to do something else. So my son just recently passed me. We do this thing called adventure motorcycling. We just recently in a competition, just to give you a sense of what that is and give you something different to look at. Here's a video of what we did this last summer. In July, we went from the bottom of Colorado to the top of Colorado, all off-road, camped the whole way. Here it is. So when we do those trips, there's a level of competition that's there. You know, the little father-son thing, then day who fell, who wiped out the most, you know, who could do that hill with the best technique. And there's all this thing of, like, who's better? Well, this last weekend, we defined who's better because we entered a competition. It wasn't a race. They grade you with your technique and everything. And he's better. The points don't lie. He is better. And we went to, yeah, boo-hoo. We went to the last day, got in the finals, which meant I got to watch him. And here's some of the things that he did. He was he and a team had to push a bike through streams, up cliffs, basically, through trees to see how they worked as a team, deep gravel, all kinds of stuff I had to do. And I'll tell you what, as I watched, and I was walking the next thing after the first event, I was getting very emotional. Because I realized this is a marker. It's the first definitive thing which he's passed me in. He's not going to pass me next year, by the way. But it's the first thing he's passed me in. And it was an attitude of worship I had. Actually, I was saying to myself and getting emotional as I went on. I was thanking God for putting me in his life, him in my life, and just, for you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me. And it was a private worshipful moment because you only get those moments if you're in it for the long view. This is why the scriptures talk about inheritance. In our day and age, we give inheritances because we don't know what else to do with our money. We don't want our kids to bitch at us, so we just kind of give them money. We give them money so they can watch PlayStation and have a high standard of living. That's not what inheritance is in the scripture. It's that you'd have a multi-generational vision. You'd be doing something you couldn't do in your own life, and so you needed to take resources to keep the vision going. That's why it says in the book of Proverbs that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children because it's a long view attention span. Fourth and final is spiritual growth. Spiritual growth requires a long attention span. As I said earlier, the reason we're frustrated with our prayer is because we have a hard time focusing. We're having a hard time doing things if we're not getting an immediate buzz like we get from a six-second Vine video. The reason why we have a hard time with the scriptures is it takes focus because it's not read like a it's not written like a novel to make us have a good time. It's written to reveal the character of God in the depths therein, and that demands that you focus constantly. You learn things that you can't just know if you just walked off the street. It develops cultivation. That's why many of us have never grown in generosity. Because it takes a long view. It takes changing disciplines. It's why many of us who may be followers of Christ haven't seen for a long, long time anybody who's a friend of ours actually come to know Christ, because we don't actually understand what's different about Jesus than Buddha. We actually can't be real friends with people even if they don't believe what we are. I mean, all these things, spiritual growth, you cannot grow. There is a cap to your spiritual growth that is directly proportional to your attention span. If you cannot pay attention for disciplined periods of time over long periods, you cannot grow spiritually. This is why the main application for today could be this. Get in the journey. The kingdom come journey. I get nothing out of you doing the journey. Crossroads doesn't get anything out of you. We spend a lot of money for that to happen. It's for your personal spiritual development. What else do you do over 6 weeks that is focused? What else will you do for 6 weeks that's focused? We make these services to be as accessible and engaging, and I might even say entertaining as possible. Entertainment is to hold someone's attention, and we make no apologies for that. And as long as I'm here, we're going to have 65-minute services or shorter or longer that are fully engaging. That's a good thing. But we've got to learn to grow outside of a choreographed environment like this. That's what happens when you do some work on your own through a book or you go to a small group. Yes, you're in a small group and some of the sessions aren't as good as others. But there's those sessions that come where it's like an atomic bomb has been dropped in the room and you're just detonated in a positive way. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And it's because you hung in there with the attention span. What else are you going to do? What else could you possibly do that's more important for your potential future, spiritually with God or in your life, than be all in the journey a couple weeks? The answer to that would be nothing. Honestly, nothing. I encourage you, become a journey host. Get into a small group. You got time to do this and figure this out. The book of Psalm, chapter 31. Verse 23 and 24, it says this: Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. We often have doubts about our faith because we don't have the attention span to wait for the Lord. There's things that God only does in his timing. That's why the Bible talks over and over again about waiting for the Lord. Waiting for us is always something where someone did something wrong. Some clerk didn't know how to manage the line. Someone didn't know traffic flow. For waiting is always, someone always else screwed up. It's how short attention span people view things. But spiritually growing people see that the waiting is an important part of the process, because there's something that we can't do in and of our own power, and in the waiting, we somehow grow. We're going to wait right now for a bit. I'm going to give you the blessing of giving you silence and stillness, more so than you may have had for a while. And maybe God's going to say something to you about something I've talked about. Maybe you're going to use this next period of time to think through what your small group's going to be for your journey, how you're going to get into one, how you're going to post, what your next steps are. I want to give you the focused ability right now to wait. Amen.